Good morning, family. We're going to get started. So, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That's scripture. And the only reason I know it is because I sang several songs with that in there. It's kind of like in the brain. But it doesn't look outside very pretty, like, you know, it's kind of overcast and all that. But this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So if you all stand with me, we're going to get started with worship. But first, we get the opportunity to say thank you to the Lord. Thank you that we woke up with breath in our lungs. Yes. Thankful that we were able to climb out of bed even. Thankful that he's on the throne and he has a plan for our day already, and we don't have to stress or worry about it. Amen. So, Father, this morning we come to you with love in our hearts and thankfulness, Lord God, that you, Lord, have given us this day that we can, with all freedom, with all passion in our heart, we can rejoice and be glad today. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. And yesterday is gone forever. And Father, there may be consequences from the past, God, but you are gracious and loving. And you have our days numbered, counted. And you, Lord God, are the reason that we can sing and say, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you. You are worthy, God, of honor and praise and glory. So, Father, we do that this morning with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you.
10,000 reasons for my heart to fall. Has given me the wind.
promise to declare this prayer one more time over our lives. It's the same power that conquered the grave lives in us. I think sometimes we need to remind our spirit of the victory that we get to walk in. And when I lift my voice and shout, I'm
Discipleship, and it was about service, the mission of service. And the bottom line of being a servant is being motivated by love. It's almost impossible to be motivated by love until you really are loved, until you really grasp the fact that you're loved, that you're loved unconditional. Your love, not because of your behavior, your love, not because of your, you know, dressing good and smelling good and looking good, all of those things that are part of the outward appearance. No, your love because he just loves you. And the more that you realize that he loves you, it's easy. That last line, holy. It's easy. Oh, nope. Holy. It's easy to lead me in the love to those around me. Once you're fully loved by him, it's easy to be led and led to love others because you're loved, and so you can love others. So, Lord, we need to build our lives on your love. Lord, we need to realize that our foundation is not sinking sand. Our foundation is you, Lord, and it's your love, Lord. Your love is a firm foundation. Lord, we can't be shaken, Lord, when we're in your love. We can't be deterred, Lord, when we're in your love, Father. So I pray that your love would permeate our hearts today in a fresh and new way, Lord. Lord, that those of us who've known we're loved, Lord, in a deeper way, Lord, would be saturated with that love. Lord, we want to be ones that love others. We want to be ones that love those that are unlovely, Lord. We want to make sure, God, that we're Christ to this world, Lord, and that takes, Lord, your love in us to do it. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, that you demonstrated that massive love, Lord, by hanging on a cross for us, Jesus. Thank you for that love. Thank you for that love that's been poured into our hearts now. Let it become active. Let it become alive. Let it become real in each and every one of us today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, I will build my life. Minutes and love on each other. Greet each other. Let the peace and grace of God rest on you.
Good morning. Good morning. We are going to get into our declarations. If you guys would stand with me, we're going to do Heart of the House, and we are declaring the goodness of God over our house, because God loves the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so say this with me on three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. So Jesus, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in this place, and we thank you, God, that you are moving mightily in this place, God, that you are in, your presence is here, your presence dwells here, God. And I just thank you, Father, for every person that calls this place home, every person that has come through these doors, young and old, God. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you are just madly in love with your church, God, that you're building a church, Lord, on a solid foundation, God. And as we lean into you, God, we get closer to you and we experience more of you. So we thank you, Jesus, that there are more encounters to come, that you are just getting started. And we just declare, Lord, your goodness over this place. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.
All right. So now we have announcements. First, starting with men's barbecue, June 15th. Who's excited about that?
Me.
Well, I want to hear it. Who's excited that there's a men's barbecue? Woo! That's not just like eggs and bacon. This is barbecue, y'all. Like smell of charcoal and fire and yeah. It's like brisket. Brisket. My guys. You guys eat like kings. All right. So be there June 15th, 6 p.m. Okay. It's here, right? At the church? It's here. All right. We're good. And then, oh, you guys, our youth, we're trying to prepare for us to go to our annual youth camp. Yes, thank you. Keep me on track. But with that, we do these fundraising events, and the next one coming up is our annual yard sale. We are beginning to take, we're opening it up for donations starting before July 20th, starting now. But what if you have bigger items like mattresses and different things like that, or just bigger items in general, please connect with me first, so just so I can kind of take a look and find out if we're going to be able to do anything with that. And I'm taking donations up until the week before. Our yard sale will happen July 20th, but I'll stop taking donations July 13th, okay? Just so that gives me a week to have my crew and myself be able to kind of go through things, make sure that things are tagged and ready to go for the day of. So if you know of anybody who's already having yard sales, if they have things they're not selling and they want to get a hold of us, please let them know. We'll take things and get it ready. Yeah, and then I'm also going to need help. That'll be coming. I'll be having a sign-up sheet for anybody who's interested to help at any capacity. I'll need a setup crew. I'll need a cleanup crew. And I'll need a crew of people to kind of help me run it as it's going throughout the day, okay? So just to kind of give you an idea of what we're looking at, and also the week before, helping take items and setting things up, that I'm going to need help with that as well. So if you have time or you're interested, please let me know. We'd love to have your help. Cool? All right. Awesome. One more announcement for Tithe is a women's group. Normally happens with Gigi. It is taking a break for the summer. So you guys enjoy your, ladies, enjoy your summer. Men, you're still going. And yeah, Tithe, you guys, what a beautiful thing to offer our finances to the Lord. If you feel called to do so, what? If you feel led to do so, onelifefamilyworship.com, click give, or you can write a check or cash and put it up in the box here. All right? Awesome. Okay.
So we have one last thing before we get into our word. As you guys may or may not be aware, we are at the end of another school year, and we have a few seniors in our youth group that we just wanted to honor and pray for. And so, you know, it is our great privilege to do youth ministry, and it's equally one of the greatest things. You're not always going to see the fruit, but I can honestly say that through and even these seniors we just kind of started connecting with this last year and a half, and we saw God move in their lives in such a great way. And so if I could have my seniors, Sienna, Sherlyn, and Fabian come up, and we just wanted to honor them, and then if I could have our youth leaders come up and our pastors, we just wanted to bless you guys. Can you come over here, bud? And if you guys can remember so long ago when you yourself were in high school, you know, it's a big deal going on into adulthood. And it's also even a bigger deal trying to continue to keep your faith intact. Mm-hmm. You know, the statistic, very sad statistic, is 70% of young people leave high school, and they don't just leave the church, they actually leave the faith. Like, that's the state of where we're at right now. And so it's important that we as the body recognize that we cover young adults and we cover youth. And this is why we're so passionate about this, is because we believe that God is after a generation. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So if you guys can come over here, right there. And you get your face up. All right. So, Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you, Father, for these young people. We thank you for their future. We thank you for their lives. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are not done with them, that you are just getting started. God, we just declare, Lord, your goodness over them, God, as they venture into the next season of life, into adulthood, God, into college, into the workforce, Lord, into building a family one day, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are resting them on a solid foundation, God. And God, I just declare, God, a protection over them. Lord, I pray a peace over them, God. I pray, Lord, that anything, Lord, that the world or the enemy is going to try to throw at them, God, that they would rest in you.
Yes.
We thank you, Jesus, for their lives. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done, God, through in and through them, God, and that that you don't despise, Lord, their lives because they're young, God, that's Lord, right. But that you actually see them, Lord, as a whole people, God, that you can use and that you will use, Lord. I pray, Lord, for opportunity, God, for their testimony, Lord, to change lives, Lord, for the light that they will shine in their respective campuses and in their homes, Lord, in their relationships, God. God, and we just thank you so much, Jesus, for who you are, God, and we just pray blessings over these three. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We got you guys a little gift.
I think we're good. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. So is everyone doing good today? One or two, that's good. Okay, there we go. So this was an interesting week because I was kind of having some like travail or like burden over the message because I wasn't like getting anything. Normally, you know, I have like something in my heart probably within a week or sometimes 4 or 5 days at the most, you know, and I wasn't getting anything. So I thought, okay, well, I'm just gonna get up here on Sunday and crack open the Bible and say, Lord, what verse do we go to? So it was, I believe it was Thursday morning, and I was just praying for folks in the church, and all of a sudden this thing dropped in my spirit. I wasn't thinking about it at all. When that happens, I say, okay, that's probably the direction you want me to go in. And so the beginning of the verse came to mind. It says, give and it will be given to you. And I said, give and it will be given to you. And so I thought, okay, is that what you want to do, Lord? So I thought about it and prayed about it and just kind of meditated on it. And I realized that, yeah, that's exactly what he wants us to communicate on today is the gift of giving. That's what I'm calling this message, the gift of giving. And most people think of giving as, you know, giving their finances. But there is so much more to giving. It's as I like to communicate to the people in the disciples' class, it's really a lifestyle is that we have to develop of giving. And it can go against our grain sometimes to give because most of us like to receive. But as Jesus says, it's better to give than receive, right? So here's the verse we have for today. It is Luke 6:37 through 38. It says here, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Then it says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So this is interesting because I've heard a lot of people take verse 38 and just kind of encapsulate it and they use it for like a tithing message. And they say, well, if you give a lot of money, you'll get a lot of money back. But that's really reducing this truth to I would say almost like a secular style because this is talking about our hearts. This is talking about all aspects of our life. If you look at the verse previous, it says, judge not, you will not be judged. Condemn not, you will not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. That's a type of giving. You're giving the your choice and you're giving to the person the ability not to judge them. You're giving the ability not to condemn them. You're giving them forgiveness and you receive it back. But given will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. This isn't one of those deals that it sounds like it's getting multiplied. I don't know if you've ever used any kind of like a chemistry set or you've even worked with just like two different types of chemicals. If you just even use baking soda and vinegar and you put them together and you start shaking them up, all of a sudden these two substances that were just a little bit of a substance, all of a sudden start building up all this pressure to the place where it can explode literally in the item. It creates that much pressure. So it's like what we're doing is when we're giving, it's almost like we're supernaturally, or we're giving God a supernatural gift. And that's our gift. And he takes it, he shakes it up, he does whatever he does to it, and it comes back to us in that multiplied state. If we give love, and we give love with pure hearts and pure motives, it comes back to us in massive measure. Especially if we're in situations where the love that we're giving is a sacrifice. We're giving it freely. We're not giving it because somebody made us do it. We're giving it because it's pure, from our purity of our heart. When we do that, it gets shaken up and it gets poured back into us. Look at another translation. This is the CEV. And it says this: if you give to others, you will be given a full amount in return. It will be packed down, shaken together, and spilling over into your lap. The way you treat others is the way you will be treated. So this is a total different spin on that verse, but I love it because it doesn't just focus on finances, it focuses on loving others. You know, if there's one commandment that's second to the greatest commandment, it's what? Loving others as we love ourselves, right? So it is necessary for us to give to receive back. It's necessary for us to love to receive love. Now, if we want to receive the most love, as we said, we want to build our life on Christ. We want to build our life on God because his love is a firm foundation. But this principle of giving, and ends up becoming a gift back to us. I've heard some people say, you can't outgive God. And how many have experienced that before by, you know, like doing something that the Lord put on your heart? It's like, wow, I feel like I need to give this money, but I kind of need this for something else. And you give it anyway because you're being obedient. And later on, it comes back multiplied to you. That's that principle working. Here's the message. I like the way the message says this. I really like the way the message says this. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Is that not good? Yeah. It's definitely a paraphrase, but give away your life. That's really the call of Christians. Christians are ones that are to represent Christ here on the earth, right? And what is the greatest example Christ gave us? Giving away his life. He freely gave away his life. We'll see that in the scripture. It literally says that. He gave his life away. No one took it from him. He gave his life away for us. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. It will come back to you. If you're honest and pure in your motives, when you give something away, you'll see it will come back to you. And the thing is that it doesn't just come back to you in the same measure. It comes back in greater multiplication. All right, I want to go ahead and give you the biblical concept of what it means really to give. The biblical concept to give means to willingly and generously offer something valuable, such as time, talent, treasure, or even one's life, without expectation of repayment or reward. It involves surrender, sacrifice, and selflessness, mirroring God's own giving nature as seen in Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Giving is a foundational aspect of Christian living, demonstrating love, trust, and obedience to God. So giving is part of your spiritual life. It should be. And it's something that I believe has to flow from an understanding of what you've received. I think when we get to the place where we're like, yeah, God saved me. That's pretty good. I'm glad. You know, I'm saved. Yeah, I won't go to hell. You know, and you kind of get this idea that it's like just, you know, fire insurance, or you don't really start taking the full measure of what he's done for you in your heart. And there's a scripture that says that to him who's been forgiven much, to him who loves much. So I've seen in illustration, I know for me, I was forgiven a lot. And so I loved God back radically. I mean, I couldn't put his word down. I couldn't, you know, I helped as many people as I could, probably went overboard at first when I first saved, and just because I was just so thankful and grateful for what he did for me. And, you know, and kind of years went on, and it's like, you know, you kind of get lukewarm in those areas, and you start to just kind of take for granted what he's done for you. But I believe if we can keep an attitude like of gratefulness and thankfulness and realize the price that was paid for us, it's so much easier to give to others. It's so much easier to give our life away. Amen? All right. So this next point I want to make is that God is the ultimate giver. There's nobody here on this earth that can give more than God's gave. And I believe that we are only givers as much as we have received from God. There may be people out there that do things that are beneficial to others, and they're charitable, and all of those things that look great on the outside, but I believe it's really something that happens inside of us when we are true givers. I believe you have to be in God, in Christ, to truly give the way that God wants us to give, without no strings attached. Now, I've never really been in a place where I've been able to give where I wasn't in Christ, so I don't know about how all the world thinks about ulterior motives, but I just know that a lot of times people give things with strings attached, unfortunately, in the world. It's unfortunately a world where people are seeing what they can get back for themselves. And so us as Christians, we are to give with no strings attached. Let me give you a for instance. Someone comes up to you and says, hey, can I borrow $25? And it's for, you know, such and such. And maybe it's one of your kids even, you know. And so what I've made it a practice to do, I've made a practice that if I'm handing somebody over the money, I think to myself that I'm giving it to them. Now, they say they're borrowing it, but I tell them this: listen, I'm giving you this. If you feel like you need to pay me back, you can pay me back. But if you don't, it's fine, because what I'm doing is I'm releasing them from that obligation. I'm turning it into a gift, even though they're saying they want to borrow it. And the reason that I do that is so that there's no muddiness between our relationships. How many know that finances can make relationships messy? As you get older, you'll realize that. People get more greedier to get things, and so I've never seen more conflict than when people have a loved one pass away, and then all of a sudden everyone's fighting over their stuff. It's not meant to be like that. And so that's part of that greediness of human nature. And so God is the ultimate giver, and he gives with no strings attached. Now somebody's saying, well, no, there's strings attached. I've got to change my behavior. I've got to do all these things to, you know, to receive salvation. No, he gave us salvation freely. It's a free gift. There's no strings attached. Well, what about coming to church, Pastor Mike? What about having to read my Bible? What about, well, you're putting the wrong spin on it. You're saying having to read your Bible, yeah. Having to come to church. You get to read your Bible. Yeah. You get to come to church. You get to worship him. It's not having to. It's not a monkey on your back. At least it shouldn't be. It should be something that we give back to him. Lord, you gave us eternal life. We want to give you this worship back. We want to give you this time, this devotion back. It needs to be a gift, and we'll see that. So he is the ultimate giver. Here we go. Everybody knows this. I'm going to use the NLT version. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only son, one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The ultimate gift, his son. The ultimate gift, himself as well. Because if he was giving his son, he was giving himself. Because they're one. He was giving the Holy Spirit. He was giving the Godhead to the world. He was giving him, all of him. Now, I know that there's theological things you have going, well, what about heaven being empty? And I don't know how all that works. I don't know how the Trinity works. But I'm telling you, when God gave his son, it wasn't just his son. It says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So that God the Father was in Christ as well. The Holy Spirit was working at the same time. All of God was given to us as a free gift so that we could have God back. God gave himself to die so that we could receive God. So God's gift for what he did was us. He knew that. He knew that his gift to us of salvation would give the gift of us back to him. And he's very satisfied with that. He doesn't need pearls. He doesn't need diamonds. He doesn't need gold. He's satisfied with our lives and our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 8, 31 through 32 says this, "What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how then will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things?" So he's not only giving us Jesus, he's not only gave him up for us all, but he's also giving us all of him. It says that we have these precious promises that we whereby can take on the divine nature of Christ, the divine nature of God. We have all of God, it says. We have the fullness of him, it says in John chapter 1. Of his fullness, we have all received. So he didn't just give Jesus so that we could be saved someday and go to heaven. He gave us Jesus and gave us God so we could have God in us. So that now we could be have the character and nature of God. So that we could be givers. This is Jesus totally giving up everything. He gave, it says, "No one takes my life," John 10:18, CEV, "No one takes my life from me. I give it up," or "I lay it down. I give it up willingly." I gave it willingly. I have the power to give it up or give it to you and the power to receive it back again, just as my Father commanded me to do. So if people tell you, yeah, the Jews, they had him crucified, the Romans took his life, you have to correct them. No. They'll even say, well, at the very least, I crucified Christ. No, he crucified himself. He let them do it to him. At any point, he could have, like, with the nails, could have said, okay, that's enough of this. Healed his arms, and then where would we have been? We would have been in a world of hurt. Because the one who brought us back to the Father, gave us relationship with the Father, totally surrendered. So that we could have this life that we have. So the principle of giving has the principle of sowing and reaping in it. Sowing is the idea of planting something. You plant something, and then within a certain amount of time, what do? You get like a plant, or you get some crops, or you get fruit, right? Fruit that you can harvest, fruit that you can eat, plants that you can eat, plants that you can enjoy looking at. You guys ever notice that you really don't have to plant weeds? Those things just, and we know that, right? Did anybody plant those weeds out there we got yesterday, Herman? Did they? No. The ones we were pulling, those suckers, they know just how to grow. I tell you, weeds are like sin. You know, sin you don't have to cultivate. You don't have to just let things go as they are, and you'll have a crop of sin or you'll have a crop of weeds, so. But praise the Lord, thank you everyone who helped yesterday getting those out of our parking lot doesn't look neglected anymore, praise God. But sowing and reaping, it is the process of planting and then reaping what you plant. So in Galatians 6, 7 through 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." So if we're sowing to the flesh, it says here, "We'll of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap each everlasting life." If we sow love into someone's life, guess what we're going to reap? Love back. If we're sowing unforgiveness in someone's life, guess what we're going to receive back? Unforgiveness. Maybe not from them, but from others. It's like we open ourselves up to this divine principle of sowing and reaping. So we can sow either kindness and goodness into someone's life, or we can, anger, resentment, frustration, and receive those back. So what you want to receive in your life, sow into others' lives. It's the gift of giving. You give kindness, guess what you receive back? Kindness. Now, maybe not tomorrow. It's a sowing and reaping process. Sometimes it takes time. There's been situations where I have gone, wow, this is the grace of God. I should not be treated this way. You know, this is kindness above and beyond the circumstances. And I realize that the Lord, through his grace, allowed me to treat others that way. And it's like in situations like, wow, this is the grace of God being sown back at, or reaped back in my life because I gave it to somebody else. And this was years later, another situation. Made a mistake, you know, and someone said, it's okay, don't worry about it. It's like, wow, I was able to receive instead of having somebody, you know, throw me in jail or whatever they wanted to do, you know. Sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So in sowing and reaping, there's an idea of kind of like with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. How much you put into something can be corresponded to how much you receive back. I mean, if I have one seed and I plant it in the ground, say I plant, you know, it's a fruit tree or something. I plant one seed. Number one, I have the potential of it not coming with just one seed. Sometimes it takes a lot of seeds to actually get the crop, because some seeds don't take. Some get eaten by the birds. Some, you know, that's why it takes, you know, throwing some seeds, like it said on the way. You know, that's what they, I think that's what they used to actually do. They used to just like throw the seeds out there and hope what would grow. I mean, it wasn't the ideal way to farm back then, but you know, they would throw wheat or whatever it was, and then some birds would eat it. Some would go in the ground. You know, it was the whole 30, 60, 100-fold. But if we sow a little bit, we're going to get a little bit back. So if we sow a little love out there, we sow a little kindness, we sow a little goodness, we sow a little bit of finances, we'll get a little bit back. We sow a lot by faith. It's by faith you're doing these things. And love, you'll get a lot back. Okay. Yep. So let's talk about a lifestyle of giving. So there's things that you can hear that someone says you got to do, and you say, okay, I need to try to do this more often. So you start doing it, you know, and after a while it kind of goes away. But there's ways that you can develop a lifestyle. In other words, it becomes part of you. And part of that is gaining a new understanding, renewing our minds. It says that we're transformed or changed, metamorphosized by the renewing of our minds. And how do we renew our minds? We constantly bring truth back to us. You're not going to get it one time on a Sunday morning. You won't get a metamorphosis usually on Sunday morning. It usually takes constant feeding these brains that have been trained poorly. I mean, if you remember right, when you were in school, and I don't know if you guys, do you guys still learn the times tables? Tell me you do. Yeah, okay. I bet there might be some at certain ages now that we don't need times tables. But you remember how you learned your times tables? You had to go to first grade and you started learning two times one, two times two, you know, you learned, but you know, you didn't get into the 12th grade, and that's when they started doing 12 times 12. And just left the two. You were always repeating those truths. Oh yeah, two times two, or you'd be memorized the timetable. It's not like you just gain one set and you never go back to it. You're kind of refreshing. That's, we renewed our minds with how to do the times tables. Same thing, where we need to renew our minds with the Word of God to the place where that is what we connect. When something happens, say, oh, this is what the Word of God says about that. Holy Spirit, help me live that out. And that's when you start having a lifestyle of giving. So I love this illustration because I believe this woman had a lifestyle of giving. I don't think she just did it so she would be in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. I want to be in the Bible. I'm going to go ahead and do something extravagant. No, I believe this woman had this lifestyle. I believe this was just a characteristic. That's why Jesus pointed her out, because it was her heart. This woman had a devotion to God and a devotion to the things of God that made it easy to do this. She didn't do this like, oh, I gotta do. She did this because that's who she was. She had a lifestyle. Luke 21, 1 through 4 says, just then he looked up and saw the rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. He said, the plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings that they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. And again, she didn't do it just because Jesus was there. She didn't do it to be seen by people. She did it because that's her lifestyle. She gave. She was a giver. And so sometimes we have to, you know, cultivate these things. It doesn't just happen overnight to be a good giver, to be somebody that is a life of giving. And I believe that as Christians, that is, if we saw God gave his only begotten son, I think it's an attribute that we need to work on. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us with giving. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to another. Here's a simple example. When you're going into this, and you're saying, well, this isn't necessarily above it. This is, again, developing a lifestyle. You go into a store, and here's a line of people, and you know, you've got like your cart or something like that, and somebody comes up with maybe two items. And you're going, well, mine's going to take a while. You say, hey, go ahead of me. Now, they're not necessarily your brother, but that's developing a lifestyle. You're saying, hey, please go ahead. Or, you know, start opening the door for people and let them in before you. It's like, well, that's kind of like, I'm trying to help you develop patterns so you think differently instead of like trying to be the first one in. I have a terrible habit. It's always when I go to the drugstore. You go to Walgreens, and you know, and I'm saying, forgive me, Lord. but what happens is I get into the store, and I have long legs. I have really long legs. I'll see a couple people going ahead of me, and they look like they're going to the same area. And it's usually the pharmacy to pick up. And those lines can be long. Does anyone know that? Those pharmacy lines at Walgreens? Anyway, so I'll start just hoofing it. And I get there like before the three. It's like, yes, I got it. Then I'm telling you, I don't always do this, but I need to say, sometimes I need to say, hey, you know, and when I'm walking up, someone's getting closer, I say, go ahead. But I'm telling you, I have the same habit. It's like, I don't want to be here very long. You know, I want to, anyway, that's my sin. Forgive me. But giving preference to one another. This is really a characteristic that distinguishes, I believe, believers, or should distinguish believers from the world, where literally people see us laying down our lives for others, laying down our time for others. We were talking today again about service. You know, someone was mentioning they're going to be moving here pretty soon. You know, well, we should, when we hear that, say, how can we help? What can we do? How can we make this difficult situation for you easier? And you know, it's like, well, but I got to give up my Saturday. I'm working 5 days a week. Yes, you do. But the problem is you're not realizing as you give in this situation, you're going to receive something back. As you give that gift of your time there, you're going to get a larger gift of time somehow. It's just a principle. You can't break this principle. It is a principle from heaven, sowing and reaping, giving and getting back. All right. Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So even a thief was being encouraged by Paul to start working. Why? Not just so that he could start having his own money and start buying his own things and not stealing anymore. No, that he could give to others who had need. So in other words, he's not going from being a thief to just not stealing. He's going to be a thief to someone that's giving. And I believe that when you learn to be a giver, you're not even going to think about stealing. And that's probably what he said. Let him start giving so that he won't even get back in the habit of stealing. Now, this is kind of an amazing scripture, and I'd never seen it this way till I was looking through, what, let's see, give. I was trying to, you know, do some word searches, and I came across this, and I said, oh, that's exactly what he's doing. Acts 3:6-8. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles, his bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So Peter is being looked at to have silver and gold. He doesn't have silver or gold, but he does have something to give. He has Jesus. He has the resurrection power of Christ that was residing in him by the Holy Spirit. He knew he had it, and he gave it to him. He gave him that life for his legs. He gave him that new life that he could go and work. He was no longer going to be just sitting there at the Gate Beautiful every day just trying to collect alms, you know, trying to, you know, help need food sign. You know what I'm saying? He had a blanket that actually showed that he was a crippled, and people would give him money based upon that. But now his whole life changed and transformed because Peter gave out of what he had. So what is this saying? This is telling you that you have something to give. Even if you don't think about it, if you don't know it, you have God in you. And so start giving away the God that's in you. Start giving away the life that's in you. Start being Jesus to other people. That's what Peter was. He said, you know what? I saw my Lord. He did these things. I know that he's now living inside of me. I know that the Holy Spirit, the power of God that he promised is inside of me. I'm giving that to you freely now. And you know what? He transformed and changed that man's life forever. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 through 8. And this is Paul talking to them, and he's communicating his desire of and in his deep love that he had for them. But as apostles, we could have demanded help from you. After all, Christ is the one who sent us. We chose to be like children or like a mother nursing her baby. We cared so much for you, and you became so dear to us that we were willing to give our lives for you when we gave you God's message. So they gave the message, just like they gave everywhere, you know, and whoever it was, him and Silas or him and Timothy, whoever it was who shared the word with Thessalonica, what ends up happening here is he's saying, we would have gave you our very lives. That tells you that he had the mind of Christ. We would be willing to lay down our life for you. We'd be willing to give you all, not just the gospel message, but our very lives. The very essence of who we are, we'd give it away. That's a pretty powerful statement if you ask me. Yeah. Now, I think this next thing that I'm going to give you, it's the last one, and I think it's the key. I think it's the key to truly being in a way that when you give, it's pleasing to God and it's easy on you when you get this attitude, when you have this heart in you. And not this one right now. You guys are trying to think, how does that work? It's the next verse. I'll give it to you so you guys aren't puzzling. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. What does this mean? This means that when we give anything, our time, we give our money, we give our love to someone, we give our kindness, we're doing it with cheerfulness. We're doing it with great. We're not doing it because, you know, oh, I'm told I have to do this. You know, it's like this. It's not like your mom is telling you, tell your brother you're sorry. Oh, no. Yeah, tell your brother you're sorry. I'm sorry. It's like, well, you guys know that. That's not real. You know, it's when they come to the awareness of like, oh, I hurt my brother, which they probably never get to. But anyway, they finally say, and I'm sorry. But the idea here is that when we do something, we're not doing it begrudgingly. We're not doing it because, yeah, God told me I had to forgive you. I'm forgiving. But that's not going to cut it. This has to be from our hearts with cheerfulness. I know it's hard because if you're talking about forgiveness with cheerfulness, if you can do that, if you can say, oh, you forgave me, God, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful you forgave me, Lord. I'm cheerful you forgave me. Now I forgive them. You see how it works? First of all, you have to realize that you being forgiven is a pretty powerful thing. First of all, you have to start realizing that God's giving you everything that he has. That's pretty powerful. Well, then you start giving away cheerfully what you have. Your finances. Somebody said, well, Pastor, my finances are based on, you know, how many hours I work during the week. And, you know, but God gave you the strength to do that. He gave you the wisdom to be able to count. He gave you the wisdom to be able to help somebody, you know, that's your employer or your business that you're running, your customers that you have. He's giving you those strengths to be able to do that. So when you realize that everything you have has come from him, it's easy to give back to him. It's easy to be a tither. It's either be someone gives offerings. It's easy to do those things because you realize he's the one that's giving you this. So don't think of giving as something that is like you have to do because you're told to do it. Realize that it's a gift. That it's a gift that God has given you so that you can be like him. It's a gift he's given us so that we can be like him, so we can demonstrate who he is. You know, there's all kinds of characteristics of Christians that you can name, you know. And people would probably say, oh yeah, they go to church. Let's say the world's doing this. Yeah, they go to church. They say one thing and do another. I mean, you know, they have their lists that they say about Christians, you know. You can never get them on Sundays to go do anything with me. I mean, you know, there's different things. But what if we started having the characteristics like, wow, Christians are just amazing givers. They just give them themselves. They give them themselves above and beyond the call of duty. You know what we're demonstrating? We're demonstrating the love of God. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are our gift. That you gave yourself so freely, Lord, that we don't have an obligation to pay you back, Lord. We have the reason, and Lord, we have the heart to pay you back. It's not something you force us to do, Lord. We're grateful and we're thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us. So we gratefully and thankfully change our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be true givers, to put others first, to give the gift of putting others first, to preferring our brothers greater than ourselves, Lord, to become extravagant givers, Lord, that where it's not how much we give, but it's with the attitude that we gave it, that we're willing to give it all. Lord, help us to lay down our lives. Greater love is no one than lay down their lives for a friend. Help us, Lord, to put others' time and others' needs, Lord, ahead of ourselves. Lord, we know that as we do this, that we're going to be exhibiting your character and nature, Lord, to others and to the world. And Jesus, you've given us your nature. You've given us your divine nature. Help us live it out. Help us to renew our minds, Lord, when it comes to giving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bless everyone, Lord, right now, Lord, with the ability to be givers. That they would receive the gift that you have given them and then freely give it away. And help them realize how much they have. Help all of us to realize, Lord, how much you've given us. How much love you've given us. How much joy you've given us. How much peace you've given us. How much patience you've given us, Lord. How much kindness you've given us, Lord. How much goodness you've given us, Lord. How much faithfulness and gentleness you've given us. How much self-control. Yes, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit you've given us. Help us to freely give that away to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my. Remember, give what you've been given. Give what you've been given. It's going to be a gift in your life.